Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lose.
Always love being here, John.
It's a great show, and when we had such great guests, and we're talking with Viviana Russell, and I'm going to go right back to you. I just want to say one thing, and Viviana was talking about we all bleed red, and the color of the skin shouldn't, but it definitely does put something into somebody's mind immediately. I have a very dear friend who's Jewish, and she's 83, 84, and when she was a teenager, her father took her up to Harlem. And he stood around the corner and he said, look around. And the only difference between us and them, meaning the black people around, is the color of their skin. You'll get away because people won't know you're Jewish. But these poor people will always be abused. And when you said it's so true, you know, you could be the greatest person in the world. Somebody coming at you, that person's black. And the white guy could be coming and a filthy animal. But that's not the point. Depending on the environment, but anyway, I just wanted to share that because I think it was so true. And she tells the story all the time of the injustice. But Otto, you had something, and you and Viviana were going to talk about baseball.
Well, actually, Viviana brought out the fact that her uncle played.
Yes, in the Negro League. And so I actually found the article. So my uncle, Albert Jeffcoat, my family, on my mother's side, was born and raised in Batesburg, Leesville, South Carolina. And my uncle, Albert Jeffcoat, he played for the Negro Leagues from 1952 to 1956. He actually was a member of the Indianapolis Clowns.
Oh, yeah, I know that team.
And, yes. And they were considered somewhat like the New York Black Yankees. And so he was a part of two Negro American League championships with the Clowns in 1952 and 1954 as a pitcher. And he also was a teammate of Hank Aaron for a short while in 1952 with Indianapolis. And he also was a teammate with the first female professional baseball player, Toni Stone, in 1953. And so when I say that the history of my family is great and the legacies that we have to look back on is great. My uncle's still living. He lives still in the same community in Batesburg, Leesville, South Carolina. And, you know, he was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so it's just really great history.
I'm going to show you a photograph that I have on my wall in my office. All right. I don't know if you can see this very well.
Yes.
But in the corner up here is me, and that's Jackie Robinson. And this is Jackie Robinson at bat in Ebbets Field.
Got to move it back, Otto.
Okay. Move it back a little bit. It's too close to the camera.
Okay. I don't know if you can
see. Okay, we can see that. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
This is
yes.
Me up here. That's Jackie. I sat next to Jackie Robinson at a, actually I have his autograph here as well. It was a dinner that was held, and I was a Toastmaster in 1952. And it was thinking back that 1952, this event has become more and more important to me as I got older. 1952, try to imagine, I used to go to Ebbets Field to watch the Dodgers play. I was a big Brooklyn Dodger fan. And Jackie Robinson started with the Dodgers in 1948. That was the first year, and he was the first player who was black who could get into the major leagues. And back then, I would go to Ebbets Field. You could go to Ebbets Field. I'm 12 years old. I used to go to Ebbets Field with other kids, no parents. You know, it was a different world. And we would go to Ebbets Field and see Jackie. And he was like God as far as we were concerned because we were big Brooklyn Dodger fans. And keep in mind that there was no television back in those days. And the only thing we ever saw about Jackie would be we would listen to games on the radio or we would read in a newspaper. So when this event occurred and I wound up sitting next to Jackie Robinson for a whole dinner
wow.
as a teenager, it was like, oh man, you know, this is something that, and to this day I look back on it and it has really become even more, because every year there's a, you know, Jackie Robinson Day and baseball makes a big thing out of it. And I make sure my grandchildren see these pictures naturally. It was just a great event. Now, the bad thing about it is I was so overwhelmed with the whole thing. I do not remember anything we talked about. I sat next to him for the whole dinner as a teenager, and I didn't have the experience I have today at my age. So I don't recall, except that he was very nice. And if you look at it, this was a local church in Woodhaven, St. Luke's Lutheran Church, all right? And here we are, we get Jackie Robinson to come to church and sit up there in front of a bunch of people, I'm sure with no charge. And you look at it today, it would have cost probably $1 million to get him to come to the dinner. So it was such a different world. But it was an event that, you know, Jackie was a tremendous influence to me, even though, I say even though, but he was black. And I just thought it was the greatest. He was a great athlete. He was a great human being. He did a lot to try to break the barrier. But anyhow, that's, you know,
that's a great story. You know, the thing is with a story like that, I really, I'm not going to say I'm stupid, but I didn't really know the Jackie Robinson story. I saw the movie.
It's on tonight, by the way, at 9 o'clock.
I was actually with what that guy had to go through. I mean, I knew it was a struggle. I'm not questioning it, but I had no idea the degree to the abuse that women, and but they wanted him at the same time, which is terrible. But I'm sorry. So I digress. Let's go back to Viviana.
Yeah. So whatever questions you have for me, you know, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about, actually, what I would like to touch upon is your kids. Okay. No, seriously, point of view of, you know, as generations keep going down and things have definitely gotten much better. Okay. My generation versus the generation before me and et cetera, et cetera. What, how do your kids talk about Black History Month? Do they look at it as just like no big deal, mommy? Or it's like, mommy, this is very important, or, you know what I'm trying to say?
So my kids vary in age from 30 to 17.
Okay.
They have different outlooks. My 30-year-old, I would say, you know, he's proud of Black history. You know, I think we're kind of in alignment with the feel that it shouldn't just be one month. Like, we celebrate Black history every month, and you know, every day is Black History Day. So right. He doesn't get too into celebrating the month alone. It's every day. My daughter and my youngest son, Malachi, I would say, they're a little bit different in their thinking as well. My daughter, I think it's more important for her now to teach her kids, because she has children, my grandchildren, twins, to teach her children about history as opposed to just Black history, so that in any history that they're learning. So they're in daycare, and President's Day recently passed. And so they brought home like pictures of like Abraham Lincoln and, you know, little doodads that they created in school. And they're not even three yet. They're 2.5, they'll be three in April. But just having a conversation with them about who Abraham Lincoln was is just, you know, the conversation is different as opposed to just talking about Abraham Lincoln as it's taught in school, and Abraham Lincoln as it relates to the real history in America. So it's different for her now because she has children of her own. My son Malachi, he's still in high school. Of course, you know, they do Black history celebrations. And one thing that I love about school that he's in, and, you know, his own thinking, is that he brings to the table facts about Black history outside of the month of February. And it's something that's, you know, that's just talked about, you know, in general. It's not relegated to the month of February or to just a class. So, you know, they're all different. so much different than when I was growing up. You know, Black History was just the month, and you celebrated Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Those were the three big names that you know around Black History, and that was it. If it wasn't for the other people in my life, and really I wasn't introduced to more of my own culture and Black history until I was a little bit older. And I remember when my son was very young, he was in maybe third or fourth grade. He came home from school. They were talking about Black history. So we had a book that was called, and I believe the name was, What They Don't Teach You in School About Black History. And he brought the book to school, and the book never came back home. The teacher took the book away from him. And so yeah. Home without the book, you know, asked him, like, what happened to the book? And he told us the teacher took it. And so, you know, we called the school and, you know, what have you, and the teacher denied it and said he must have lost it and whatever the case was. But the book never came back home. And he was very upset. He said his teacher was upset with him and took it away from him. But then when we confronted the school, you know, they said that he must have just lost it. But anyway, it just shows like how things need to change, you know, and it's still not a part of the curriculum right now in our public schools and even in our private schools. It's not part of our educational system. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to that I hope that I'm able to see in my lifetime to change that, you know, the facts of history, particularly here in America, are made part of our curriculum. You know, Black history does not start with slavery. You know, many people will have you to believe that Black history started with slavery. Even here in America, it did not start with slavery. So, you know, it's just important to me that the facts about Black history are taught on a broader scale in society.
Viviana, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school?
I grew up in East Elmhurst, Queens. I went to Jerome Hardiman Daycare, which is right on the Story Boulevard in East Elmhurst. And then I went to St. Gabriel's Catholic School from kindergarten through eighth grade. And then high school, I went to Thomas Edison High School. And then on to college, I went to Mega Evers for a short period of time. And then I also went to the College of New Rochelle is where I graduated from.
Did you experience prejudice during that period of time, like in your earlier years? That you impacted you?
I didn't realize it was prejudice. So I went to a Catholic school. It was very, very diverse. And I was very, very grateful that my parents put me in private school so I was able to experience that type of diversity. And even in the community that we lived in, it was very diverse. And East Elmhurst was very diverse. I didn't realize that I was experiencing any type of racism until I was older and I looked back at my childhood. Some of the brothers in school, you know, some of the things that they would say and how they would, you know, try to make you feel about certain things, like about your hair, you know, about having braids in your hair and like, why won't you do something different with your hair? You know, so things like that never really paid attention to until I got older that I realized that, you know, that was really inappropriate. That was, you know, that was not nice. As I tell my grandkids, like, that's not nice. That was not nice. And then my mother, being from the South, my mother was a very, very meek woman. She was sometimes uncomfortable being in the presence of white people because that culture from the South, you know, where you were taught to believe that Black people were inferior or subservient to white people, I saw it sometimes in her behavior when she was around white people. And so it was, you know, and again, not until I was older that I look back and recognize those things and, you know, realize it was just a part of the way that she was brought up.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to have to cut Viviana off, but what I want to do is reschedule a couple of months from now, because it doesn't have to be Black History Month to discuss these things. I think it's very significant. So Viviana is going to come back in a couple of months and we can just talk about it.
I would love that.
It's February. And I'm the first one. I said, oh, it's February. We have to have Viviana on. We'll have Viviana on because she's a person a couple of months down the road. Viviana, I want to thank you so much. You've been listening to Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM. and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.